Lawson said something this morning is the reason I have my family at Temple Baptist Church. He was speaking this morning, and then he said, I'd probably get kicked out of the preacher fellowship for saying that. Well, a little over 2 years ago, we started coming here. I won't tell you that journey, how we got here right now. We'll save that for another time. But we had come a couple weeks, and I said, one of my sons had a couple Bible questions he wanted to ask preacher. And I had a question I wanted to ask him. So I asked him if we could meet with him. He said, I'd be glad to. We met back here in his office. He may not even remember it. I said, Preacher Lawson, I got one question for you. I said, are you in the preacher's club? And he started chuckling and say, I was kicked out of that club a long time ago. I said, that's the only question I had. We're in the right place. Atlee, my son, asked him a couple questions about the Bible, and we went on our way. I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of organized religion. And I'm about tired of modern day Christianity. And we got to preach the truth, and we're going to try to do that tonight. If you'll go to Matthew chapter 5, we'll be in verse 13 through 16 of Matthew chapter 5. We all know that our society is declining morally. There's no question about that. Over the last 100 years, it don't matter who's been in office, we've had a moral decline. And everybody in this building tonight could tell a story about how things used to be. So we're going to figure out, there's no need to preach on there is a decline. We all know that. That's the obvious. The question is, as Christians, as Bible-believing, born-again Christians, what are we to do about it? Instead of just complaining and griping about it, what are we to do about it? Because I don't, you guys know this because you go to Temple Baptist Church, but a lot of Christians don't know. We are the answer to the problem that our society faces. Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. Tonight I'm going to preach on salt and light. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how good you are at us. I thank you for the Bible that we can trust at 100%. We never have to doubt what we read in the Word of God. May everything we do tonight glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All my life, I've been in church, I've been to camp meetings, I've been to revivals, I've been to tent meetings, I've been to Jubilee. We've raised our kids up in that stuff. They know more preachers than they can count. I know more preachers than I can count. And I've heard people stand up behind the pulpit, and oftentimes I hear people say, I'm not worthy to be up here. You've heard that if you've ever been in church. Well, in the flesh, my response is, well, then sit down and give somebody else a chance. But the fact of the matter is, of course you're not worthy to be up here. I'm not worthy to be up here. No preacher's worthy to be up here. Amen. We're not even worthy to hold the Bible. We're not worthy to walk in a church. We don't even know how holy God is. But I'm not so much worried about being worthy to be up here as I am being obedient to Jesus Christ. Amen. The great Adrian Rogers, I remember what Pastor said this morning about the great. The late Adrian Rogers, who was a very good preacher, and he preached the truth. We know the great one, okay? I'll never say another man's name without thinking of that again. Adrian Rogers said, if I think I'm going to heaven just the way I am, I don't understand how holy God is, or I don't understand how sinful I am. We're not worthy because we can't even comprehend his holiness, and I can't comprehend my sinfulness. But by repenting of my sins and accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I may not be worthy, but I am a child of the King. And when I became a child of the King, I enlisted in the Christian fight. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, I've fought a good fight. I've contended for the faith. That word contending for the faith means I've engaged in a battle. I don't know if you realize this tonight, Christian, but we're in a fight. This isn't a day for comfortable Christianity. This isn't today to sit in our pew and say, I'm saved, seated, and satisfied. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. This isn't today to be a jellyfish Christian with no backbone. But Christians tell me all the time, but I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anyone mad. Let me tell you what this is going on. The world is literally going to hell. Our nation, is the foundation of it, is crumbling right before our eyes. Families are falling apart. Everybody in here tonight is dealing with something. A part of my business, I deal with a group of Christians through our financial business. We got a group of Christians where we meet monthly. Some of the greatest men and women on the face of this earth that love Christ. And every single family is dealing with something. The devil is ripping our families apart right in front of our eyes. Our churches are the weakest they've ever been in our lifetime. Our churches are the weakest they've ever been in our lifetime. And all this is going on right before our eyes. But bless God, let's not upset anybody or hurt anybody's feelings, or let's not offend anybody. What we got to understand is worrying about hurting somebody's feelings is in the rearview mirror, and we got to get on about the Father's business. If they don't like us preaching the truth, here's what we got to understand. If they don't like us preaching the truth, what are they going to do when they stand before a three times holy God? If they can't take a preacher's preaching who a sinner preaching to them, what are they going to do when they stand before a holy God that is the righteous judge who has never sinned? He's never done anything wrong. If they can't walk in a church building somewhere in this world and take some good Bible preaching, they're going to be in real trouble when they stand before Jesus Christ. But see, Jesus Christ always has a group of people that's willing to fight for the faith. Jesus tells us in the Bible, ye are the salt of the earth. Salt preserves what is good. Before modern day technology, salt was the main preserver. Salt, it adds flavor to food. Salt is a powerful thing. When I was over in Israel a few years ago, we went down to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is over one third salt. So if you walk out in the Dead Sea, it's very thick. It's not like walking out in the Atlantic Ocean. You can actually go out in the Dead Sea, take a book with you, and sit on the water and not fall down in the water. That's how thick it is. And then when you go back to your hotel room, you might as well just throw your clothes away because you're not getting that salt out of your clothes. Salt is a powerful thing that can have great influence on people's life. That's why Jesus called us the salt. Christians are the only hope, my friend, to fix what's going on in our society today. But verse 13 says, if we lose our savor, that means if we lose our character, that means if we lose who we are. The Bible says, Jesus said in red letters, we're good for nothing. If we lose who we are, I submit to you tonight, we're no different than a lost person going around in this world. God has called us to lead the way in society. And there's some churches trying to be the salt. You may have heard one of your friends say this. We're trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that sounds good. And there are some churches here in a few weeks, they're going to hand out backpacks to students when they go back to school. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. There's some churches that feed meals to people on a regular basis. There's nothing wrong with that. In itself, that's a good thing. There's some churches that's built baseball fields, softball fields, soccer fields, football fields. They've built everything to try to draw people to their church. All of that in itself is a good thing. But if you just do that and don't tell them the truth about how to be born again, if you just do that and don't tell them the truth about their sin, it's a waste of time. Just telling somebody God is good don't get them to heaven. Just because God loved me don't mean I get to go to heaven. And I'm afraid that's what we're doing. We're trying to be the salt. But what you got to understand is salt is just an add-on to your meal. Nobody's going to leave here tonight and say, honey, let's go get a bowl of salt for dinner. But somebody may say, pass the salt, and I'll put a little bit on the main meal. One of the preachers of the 1800s, Charles Finney, of the Second Great Awakening. I try to listen to 4 or 5 messages a week outside of church, and I'm having trouble nowadays finding good messages to listen to, so I've just started listening to a lot of the guys from the 1700s and 1800s. they used to preach, and I don't know how else to put it, they didn't really care what anybody thought about what they said, except God. Charles Finney said this. He said, if morality prevails in the land, the fault is ours, talking about Christians, in a great degree. If there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If politics becomes so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. That's harsh talk to Christians. But what Charles Finney was saying is, if you don't like how things are going, God said you're the salt and the light, go change it. Us sitting around griping about it on our group chat, text, and on social media isn't accomplishing anything. God called us to be the light of this world. Have you noticed when you go in a building, right when you walk through the door here, when you go in your house tonight, what's right beside your door? A light switch. Why is a light switch right beside your door? Because you can't walk through your house in pitch dark. You got to be able to see. Light helps you see. One of the first things you do when you get home is you turn on your light switch. One of the first things you do when you drive your car at night is make sure your headlights are on. If a group of people is walking down the street at night in the pitch dark, and one person's got a flashlight, would you want that person in front of the line or the back of the line? Here's the problem with our society today. The Christians are in the back of the group, letting the lost, dark, dying world lead us. Oh, we're complaining the whole way about how they're leading us, but God never intended the lost, dark world to be the leaders. He expected the Christians to be the leaders. He said, that's why you're the light, because I want you out front, because you know right from wrong. Amen. The problem we have in America is we're wanting lost, ungodly, godless people to fix our spiritual problems. We're asking for ungodly politicians and leaders and principals at schools. They hate God. And we're mad because they can't fix the problem. The problem's not them. The problem is the light is in the back of the group, and we should be in the front of the group. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 18:12. Jesus said, we Christians are the light of the world in Matthew 15:14. He expects us to be in the front of the line, people. He expects us to be leading. When Jesus showed up in the Bible, something happened every time he showed up.
That's right.
When Jesus showed up in the Bible, something happened, and everybody there knew that the light had arrived. Amen. Now listen, there's people that hated that the light had arrived, and there's people that loved that the light had arrived. When you and I show up somewhere, whether we show up at work, whether we show up at a family function, no matter where we show up, let me ask you this. Does the people around us know that the light has showed up? I'm not talking about the physical light. I'm not talking about you showing up in a Lamborghini with your lights flashing. I'm not talking about wearing a Rolex watch on each wrist or a $10,000 suit. I'm talking about the spiritual light. I'm not talking about you wearing a Mr. T starter kit around your neck so that everybody can see you. Young people, Google Mr. T. You'll know who he is. But Mr. T, do y'all know Mr. T as a Christian? Mr. T is a strong Christian based on his own testimony. But I ask you and I tonight, when we show up anywhere, do they know where the light has arrived? Do they know somebody's not going to be mean to them, but somebody's going to stand for the truth of the Word of God? We're to be the light at work. We're to have pray at lunch. We're to give our testimony. We're to take our Bible to work. If we own a business, do our clients and our customers know where we stand with Christ?
Amen.
We're to be the light at family gatherings.
That's right.
Every family is dealing with something, as I said earlier. Every family is dealing with homosexuality in their family. Every family is dealing with transgenderism in their family. We know it. I know it. You know it.
Amen.
And as a Christian, I help people manage money for a living, and the fact they know I preach and I try to be a Christian, they ask me a lot of questions. Because money's tied to everything, whether you like it or not, every decision you make in life, money's tied to it. So people will say, Kevin, what do you think about homosexuality? What do you think about gay marriage? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? I say, I appreciate you asking me, but can I be totally honest with you? What I think about it don't mean a hill of beans. My opinion doesn't matter. But we live in a world where everybody thinks their opinion matters. The only thing that matters is what the book says. So what I tell the people is, I could tell you what my opinion is on it, but I can give you a better answer. I'll just tell you what the book says, and then I will tell you whatever the book says, whether I like it or not, I agree with it 100%. See, the book is offensive. The book convicts you if you actually read it. What changed my life in 2007 was when I actually started reading the book. When you go to school, you're to be the light. Young folks, when they bring in those satanic events like the drag queen shows and the transgender shows, and they tell boys they can go in girls' bathroom and girl in boys' bathroom. I don't know if they do it in Tennessee, but in Virginia, if somebody said they thought they were a cat, they would put out a litter box. My answer to that is very simple. When everybody else goes to lunch, you send them over to the litter box with a little bowl of cat food. You do that for a week or two, and when they start to starve to death, they'll start going back to the cafeteria. Somebody's got to end this nonsense that's going on. It's destroying our families, and it's destroying our children. So when they pull that stuff into the schools, my friend, just simply raise your hand very politely. You don't have to be mean. Say, Mrs. Teacher, I got one question. What's this got to do with anything about educating me on how to read, write, or think better, or know anything about history? When she says she doesn't know, get up and leave and say, I'll be back when you stop this nonsense. I promise you, if enough people walk out, that nonsense will stop. Because every child, I know this is going to hurt some people's feelings, but every child is nothing but a dollar figure to the public schools. When your child leaves, that's X amount of dollars they don't get from the state government. But at what point are the Christians going to say, enough is enough? Amen. Well, if you go to a Christian school, don't think it's perfect either. There's people there that you got to be the light to as well. We just got back from preaching a revival in Grenada. And every night we would preach. It was a little hot over there. It was a little steamy over there. But you know what we did during the days? We went into the schools and handed out Bibles to every student. Our pastor friend over there, his goal is to get every person on the island one Bible in their house so they can read it. The schools let us go in, hand out Bibles to every child, stand up and present the gospel to them. That don't happen in the United States of America. But what are we doing as Christians about it? What are we doing as Christians? Sitting around griping about it? I'm telling you, if you take your child out, they could fail them. They could give them an F. They're not going to fail them. You can get a 25 on a science test today and you still don't get an F. They don't fail people nowadays. We're to be the light at work. We're to be the light in our family. It's getting ready to get tight in here now. We're to be the light in the government. Do you know most of the pilgrims who were actually called the Separatists when they came over on the Mayflower? They were preachers and Christians. Do you know the 13 colonies that we had? You had to profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before you could serve as a government official. Can you imagine that? States like Massachusetts and Connecticut and those places up there that are wicked as the day is long, back then you had to profess in some of the states that you believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Guys, America wasn't blessed by accident. George Washington said in his final speech, the way you stay politically prosperous is you keep religion and morality. And when our founders said religion, do know they meant a Christian religion. That's why they left England. If you watch the movie The Great Awakening that just came out a few weeks ago, George Whitefield, one of the great preachers of the 1700s, and Benjamin Franklin had become best buddies. George Whitefield was preaching in England. Franklin heard about it. Franklin had a printing press in Philadelphia. Franklin liked to make money, did he not? So Franklin said, I got an idea. I'll publish his messages in my newspaper and people will buy them and I'll get rich. Well, what Franklin didn't know, for the next 30-some years, the Lord was going to load him up with one of the greatest Christian friends he could ever have in his life. You had a preacher who preached the gospel, and you had a man who was not a Christian at the time. Many think he became a Christian late in his years because of George Whitefield. Who knows? Only the Lord knows. But they asked Benjamin Franklin, I know it was a movie, but it plays the part. They said, was George Whitefield around for the revolution, the American Revolution? Benjamin Franklin said, George Whitefield was the revolution. What you and I have to understand, as Christians, if we're the light and we lead the way, society will follow us. The reason our churches are weak, and the reason our schools are falling, and the reason our foundation is crumbling, is because Christians are not leading the way anymore. Our nation needs us to lead. Amen. When the word politics comes up, most Christians look at you like a calf at a new gate. See, they even got quiet in here because I said the word politics. It's not even a four-letter word. It's eight letters. So it's double curse word. But churches have believed the lie of separation in church and state. Can I tell you somebody else that spewed the lie of separation in church and state? Anybody know anything about 1930? Germany. A man named Adolf Hitler. You know what he told the church? He said, you can have your church service. I don't care what you do in your little church. Go over there and say your little prayer, sing your little song, preach your little message, have your little vacation Bible school. Do whatever you want to do in your church. Just don't bring your church into our government building. I got a question for you. How did that turn out for Germany? You know what's going on in England right now? England told the Christians to get out. The Muslims have come in. Much of England is under Sharia law nowadays. And one guy told me this morning, I was talking to him after church, he said there's more animals in England than there are guns. England has no military defense anymore. Why? Because they told God to leave. When you tell God to leave, you know what God does? He leaves. He's not going to stay somewhere he's not wanted. Thank God Christians that came before us didn't believe the lie of separation of church and state. Amen. Anybody ever heard of the 40th president of the United States of America? Ronald Reagan. Most people, most Christians think highly of Ronald Reagan. In 1984, somebody thought highly of him. He won 49 of the 50 states. The only one he lost was Minnesota, which Walter Mondale was from, the guy he was running against. But what most people don't know, the reason Ronald Reagan was in office and got elected is because of Christians. Because there was a little man in a little town in Lynchburg, Virginia, called Dr. Jerry Falwell. And Dr. Falwell, who became the founder of Liberty University in the 1970s, he saw America starting to decline, and he said, the Christians have no voice no more. I got to lead the way. I got to start a group. You may have heard of a group called the Moral Majority. Do you know when Ronald Reagan gave his victory speech? Dr. Jerry Falwell was standing right behind him. Well, Christians shouldn't be involved in politics, Kevin. Really? Can I tell you tonight that every issue that's discussed in Washington, every issue that's discussed at the state capitol, and every issue that's discussed at the local government is not a political issue? Abortion is a Bible issue. It is not a political issue. Marriage, transgender, taxes, borders, immigration, size of government, the Second Amendment. None of those are political issues. They're all in the Bible. So every issue that anybody discusses, I can find you in the verse in the Bible. So what's happened? They've told us those are political issues. And they said, church cannot talk about political issues, but they're actually Bible issues. But they've convinced the church and the Christian those are political issues. So they say, you can't talk about political issues or you're going to lose your tax-exempt status. Everybody with me? Can I tell you something? In the Constitution, churches automatically have tax-exempt status. You don't have to have a 501c3 to be tax-exempt. So they say, you can't talk about politics. If you do, we're going to take your tax-exempt status. Even if tax-exempt status was an issue, I would ask this question. Do you think Jesus is worried about your tax-exempt status? Do you think Jesus is sitting there saying, now, Kevin, you just sit on the pew and be quiet. Don't go to the school board meeting. Don't run for any office because I don't want you to lose deducting your tithes off your taxes. Every issue is a biblical issue. What I'm telling you tonight, Christians, we've been lied to. They don't want us involved in politics. Because we're the only foundation and borders they have. Most non-Christians say, I can't wait until those Christians are out of here. One day they're going to get their wish. But they think it's crazy now. Wait until the salt and the light leaves this earth. Then they're going to see days that they've never known before. I tell people and they say, if we could just get rid of you Christians. I say, be careful what you ask for. You're going to get it one day. But until that day comes, my friend, God has called us to be the light of this earth. And if that makes somebody mad, so be it. I would rather obey God than man. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody is going to lead our government whether we like it or not. The Bible says when the wicked rule, the people rejoice. They mourn. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. That's what the Word of God says. That's not what a political party says. That's what the Word of God says. So I ask you tonight, would you rather rejoice or would you rather mourn? I don't know about you, I'd rather rejoice. And people ask me all the time, Kevin, why do you preach like you are? Why are you as crazy as you are? I say, because I have a bunch of children that if somebody don't fight for them, they won't grow up in a society. They won't be doing church above ground. They're going to be doing church underground. And I'd much rather do church above ground with some air conditioning in it than have to go in a basement and do it. Our children are worth fighting for. And our country, our government, our churches are attacking our children. And if somebody don't fight for our children, who's going to fight for them? You say, well, how do you vote, Kevin, when you go? Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? I vote very common sense. If a guy stands up over here, and there's a guy here, and this guy says, I think boys can be girls, and I think girls could be boys, I vote for that guy. Because I say, if he can't figure out if it's a boy or girl, how's he going to lead a society? And then if this guy stands up, and he says, we ought to let anybody in our country, it don't matter. I don't believe in law and order. We ought to fire all the police people. We don't care what you've done. We don't care where you've been. Everybody's welcome to America. I vote for this guy. Because if he don't care about the protection of my nation no more than that, then why would I vote for him? If a guy stands up and says, we're going to take the tax dollars of everybody that goes out and works their rear end off every day, and we're going to hand the money to people that don't work, I vote for this guy. Because if he ain't no smarter than to balance a budget, then how's he going to run a government office? It's common sense. I could care less if they have an R or D by their name. It's called common sense voting. And I got Christians who, they'll come in my office, and they mean well, and they're like, Kevin, I just don't know who to vote for. I don't like the way the president talks. But I like what he does. You know what my answer is? Tell me one word the president's ever said that you haven't said yourself. If you've ever been in the military, you've probably heard worse. I know in my college basketball practices, I've heard a whole lot worse than what our president says. But we have weak Christians. I just don't know what to do. I said, well, do this then, since you're not smart enough to figure it out. Vote on three issues: abortion, traditional marriage, and Israel. It's pretty clear cut which way you would vote in today's world. If that changes, I'll change. But you know why Christians say, I just don't know what to do. I don't know who to vote for. Because our pulpits around America has lost its power. Nobody has the courage to preach the truth anymore. Leonard Ravenhill, one of the good preachers from England, came to America in 1951 for one reason, he said. In 1951, he said, America is drunk on materialism and I see no power in the pulpit. And Leonard Ravenhill stayed in America the rest of his life to preach the gospel. But I want to finish with this, guys. If you're the light, and God calls us to be light, and you have the courage to get out in front, boys and girls, when you go to school, if you have the courage to get in front of the line and not stand in the back of the line, you're going to have shots fired at you. Don't believe me? Ask Erica Kirk. But I've decided in my life, I don't know about you, I'd rather die a martyr than a coward. I've decided I would rather die a martyr than a coward. If I'm 85 years old and I'm about to pass into eternity and all my adult children come to me and they said, Daddy, you knew all this was going on. What did you do about it? I ask Christians, preachers, churches, everybody all over America today. We know what's going on. What are we doing about it? But if you got the courage to get in front of the line with your light and everybody's behind you, they're going to talk about you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to question what you're doing. But Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hated me. He said they're going to persecute you because they persecuted me. I know this over the last 19 years. Friends are going to turn on you. Even harder than that, family. Can I just tell you this? Your Thanksgiving and your Christmas gatherings, I'm telling you from personal experience, will not be the same. But what you have to understand and what I have to understand, we are each other's family. Jesus doesn't see the Alexander family and the Lawson family. Oh, Kevin's saved, so the whole Alexander family gets to go. I tell my kids all the time, you don't get to go to heaven riding my salvation coattails. You got to have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody talks about how religious my granddaddy was. Hey, you ain't going to heaven on your granddaddy's faith. If you're willing to hold the light and you're willing to be courageous and you're willing to be bold, your Thanksgiving and your Christmas dinners, they ain't going to be like they used to. But I heard Dabo Swinney, the Clemson football coach, he got it from somebody, but I heard it from him, so I'll give him the credit. Pastor, you can use this. I've learned in life not to worry about criticism from people I wouldn't take advice from. Let me say that again. Because if you preach or you stand for anything at work, at school, whatever, people are going to talk about you. Just know it. I don't worry about criticism from people I wouldn't take advice from. Paul said it best in Philippians 4:11. He said, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Paul wasn't saying be content, get up in the morning, get a cup of coffee, and sit down and watch the game show network for 8 hours. That ain't what he meant by being content. Paul said, go fight the good fight, contend for the faith, and wherever that lands you, be content with where it lands you. See, if Paul went into prison, he had the mindset, I'm going to write more letters and I'm going to pray more. Paul said, if they let me loose, I got the mindset, I'm going to go preach the gospel to churches. And then Paul said, if they threaten to kill me, they only given me an invitation to glory. No matter what they wanted to do, the apostle Paul said, I will be fine either way, and I'm going to glorify Christ through it. Satan only attacks those who are the light. People tell me all the time, they say, well, Satan's not doing anything to me. I'm living a comfortable Christianity. If Satan's not doing, I tell my kids all the time, if Satan's not attacking you, you better check up on your fellowship with the Lord. Because for the first 33 years of my life, Satan did very little to me. You know why? Because I was doing very little for the Lord. I was not a threat to Satan. I ask you and me tonight, are we a threat to Satan? If we're not a threat to Satan, then he's going to let us be and let us go. Amen. Satan's not in most churches. You know why? Because they're not a threat to him. Amen. Satan looks at most churches in America today. He says, oh, you got a nice big church. You got a nice performance up there. Everything looks great, but you're not doing anything for Christ. So I'm going to let you be.
Yeah.
Do you know in the 1930s, when the Jews drove by on the trains, they drove by the churches. You know what many of the churches in Germany said? Turn up the music so we can't hear the train.
Right,
you know what Christians have done in modern day in the last 100 years? They said, turn up the music so we don't hear all the nonsense out there that's going on.
Amen.
But the last 19 years of my life, on May 15, 2007, the day Jerry Falwell died, my life changed. I told my wife, I said, we just lost our voice. We lost a guy who would go on Fox News and call sin, sin. Did he say some crazy stuff every now and then? He absolutely did. But do you understand sometimes Jerry Falwell and even the President of the United States, they say crazy stuff intentionally just to get you to come listen?
Yeah.
It's called free advertising and marketing.
Yeah.
Then they get you to come listen and then they tell you what their message is. But for the last 19 years, I've had friends and family. They look at me different than they used to. But you know who looks at me far different than anybody else? The religious crowd. I know a ton of pastors, and pastors look at me different over the night. They were fine when I would just donate to their ministry, but I wouldn't stand for Christ or have any courage, and I wasn't the light. But when the Lord changed my life and I started reading my Bible and I started getting a hold that I was a sinner and the Lord changed me and I started my own ministry, America Resurrected, in 2008, you know what I found? The religious crowd, not the lost crowd, the religious crowd attacked me more than the lost crowd did. The lost crowd doesn't care what you're doing because they don't care about Christianity. But you know what the religious crowd told me? We have our programs here. We have our way of doing things. Don't mess with us. We don't want to fight no fight. We just want to keep the doors open. We just want to keep the salaries coming in. We just want to post how many people came to our church. And then at lunch, we'll sit there and gripe and complain to each other about what's going on in society. But we're not willing to do anything about it. And the Lord just told me, he said, your children are worth the fight, Kevin. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German preacher in the 1930s, he lost his life because he preached the gospel.
Yes, he did.
He lost his life because he planned to take the life of Adolf Hitler. How about that for a Christian? He plotted to assassinate Adolf Hitler. And they hung him for it. You can read his book, The Cost of Discipleship. See, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. You can agree or disagree. That's perfectly fine. We have too many people in America professing to be Christians. Because before somebody professes to be a Christian, they better know the cost that's about to come with it. But we got people who want to grow old. They want to die with roses around their bed, with the remote control, living this easy life. That's not what it's like to be a Christian. Christian is a fight. Paul said, I fought a fight. I contended for the faith. I don't know about you, but I don't need any big churches. I don't need any fancy programs. I don't need a concert when I go to church. I just need somebody to preach the truth. I'm not worried about being offended when I come to church. I'm not worried about being, if I want to be entertained, I'm not going to church. I can promise you this, I can go to Truist Field about 3 hours down the road and watch the Braves and be a lot more entertained than a church can entertain me. I can go to Neyland Stadium and be entertained. I'm not going to church to be entertained. I'm not worried about a preacher hurting my feelings, stepping on my toes, doing all that nonsense. I want somebody to preach the truth so I can learn something and somebody to motivate me so Monday through Saturday. See, it's easy to be the light on Sunday morning. Who's not the light on Sunday morning? But what are we doing Monday through Saturday? I'll leave you with this question. Are we willing to be the one in the front of the line, shining the light, knowing you're going to be hated and you're going to be persecuted? But I'll leave you a quote from George Whitefield. George Whitefield got kicked out of the church, by the way, for his preaching. He got kicked out of the church and then went and preached out in the fields. Benjamin Franklin says when George Whitefield preached, 30,000 people could hear him without a microphone. George Whitefield said this. He died at 54 years old. He said, "I am content to wait till the day of judgment for the clearing up of my character." See, Christians today, they want people to like them. They want to be popular. They want to have this and that. But that's not in the Bible. Jesus said, if you follow me and you boldly are the light, you will be persecuted. You will be hated. You will be talked about. But I agree with George Whitefield. I'm content to wait to the day of judgment for the clearing up of my character. Does it really matter what man thinks about you anyways? Because you're only going to stand before one when it's all said and done. And it's not man. The Bible calls him the righteous judge. I challenge you tonight to be the light, to get in front of the line, and what, no matter what they say behind you, be okay with it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. I hope we said something that honors you and brings glory to your name. I pray you just put a hedge of protection around Temple Baptist Church, around Pastor Lawson, around Miss Linda. I pray, God, you give them everything that they need on a day-to-day basis. I pray, Lord, that we may be the light, that we may see what's going on in our society, in our churches, in our families, in our schools, and we may have the courage to say, enough's enough. I'm going to be the light. I'm going to contend for the faith, knowing one day I will stand before a three-time holy God, and I'll give an account for what we've done. In Jesus' name, amen.